Inside Hasbro with Agent H. Agent H is here to answer questions, and we'll talk about what he can talk about from an undisclosed secret location transmissioning live from somewhere within Rhode Island. Agent H, are you there?
I'm here. What's going on, guys?
What's up, man? It's good to have you.
I am honored and pleasured to be the first inductee in our ROC spotlight, and I am thankful and I'm excited. Let's get this done going, man.
Yeah, man. Excellent. Now, we know that you are afforded certain information and tidbits that you need to keep confidential, so when are we getting the MP Mirage and Galvatron? I can't wait anymore. All right, I promised I wouldn't.
You know, listen, I wish I can give you more information. I'm out of the loop in that one too, man. I mean, I know certain thing about Galvatron and Hound, but Mirage is frightened. Right now, Mirage is definitely a Mirage.
He's invisible. Well,
he's invisible right
hopefully
now.
Hopefully he's there and he'll be tangible one day.
Yeah, hopefully Takara will get out of their asses and get us these figures by the next 2 to 4 years, hopefully. So,
you know, that I'm glad you said that, because that's something I'd like to touch on, the process, how it works. There are so many of us that wonder, you know, when can Hasbro do this? Why can't Takara do that? And I definitely want to get to that. But first, want to talk about Agent H. Who is Agent H? What does he do? Tell us. Oh.
Agent H is a lowly employee up in northern England area in the company H. Basically, my job is I do doodles for a living. So basically, I will design certain figures for the Marvel brand regarding either Marvel Legends or within the movie line, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. The 4 and 6 year olds categories, like those on web crawlers and web shooters, even to the part of Marvel Legends, the cosplay series from the Captain American shield, Iron Man's helmet, Thor's hammer, etc., etc. So it really all depends on what they have me to do. But at this moment time, my position is just a figure designer. So I am the beginning of the designing process of the toys that you see on the shelves. So basically, I take my pen and paper, tablet, draw the image. The original process was I would draw it on a tablet, draw the image on this, you know, scale base, you know, turn around from front, back, side to sides of the image. Once, you know, the higher ups approve it, then a sculpt artist will take my images and will start using clay, whatever medium they use to make a 3D model of my figure. But nowadays, the process is different. We've started doing 3D rendering. It's much faster than using sculpt artists, you know, and when you get more details as well when you have 3D rendering. So, and as well, it's, you know, we can cut certain processing that we have done back in the past to make the figures, you know, more realistic, more detailed, and as well faster to reach the factories overseas.
Okay. Now, let me just get out of fanboy mode for a second, because you just blew me away. It sounds like you basically have the dream job for probably about 99% of people that will listen to this.
Well, you know, it could be a dream job, but it's a hard job as well, because you have restrictions, you have budgets, you have deadlines are the killer. You know, sometimes the deadline to say you have a month, sometimes you may have 2 weeks, you may have a day, and sometimes if you finish your design close to the deadline, then you may have like 5 hours to make, you know, 50% changes of your design before it goes to the next process. So it's a dream job, but it's a lot of work.
So it's safe to say that you're a passionate collector?
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. I know you. I know you are.
Yes, I've been collecting, oh my goodness, since junior high. I would say junior high, high school officially. You know, there's a certain stage when we start playing with our toys, and then we stop playing with them and just put them on the shelves and start collecting them. And I'll say by junior high, mid high school is when I became an official collector.
Wow. When did you know that you wanted a position like you have? When did you first see that?
All by chance, Brian. It was when I went to School of Visual Arts in New York City to go do illustration and animation. I was putting myself through college, but they raised the tuition, so I couldn't afford it. So I had to drop out. But I was applying for scholarships, other programs in New York City. You know how it is here. There's right. like scholarships out the ass you could just find, you know, just if you're filling the criteria. So thank God Helen Rubinstein Foundation gave me a scholarship to go to SUNY or CUNY schools, which anybody who's out of, doesn't live in New York doesn't know. SUNY is State University of New York and CUNY is City University of New York. And those are schools of which in New York City and New York State. And I decided to pick Fashion Institute of Technology in New York City, and they had toy design. And I had switched my majors to fashion and toy design. And from faith chance, that's how I fall into this position. Because I wasn't planning to be a toy designer. I wanted to be a comic illustrator or animator. But since I couldn't, I was thinking, let me just finish college. And then once I finish college, maybe I can get my foot in the door and maybe, you know, do some extra, go to extracurricular activity schools and finish my illustration and animation and get a degree in that later on. But Dave Honor is a good, one of my mentors who I met around this time was working for Toy Biz doing, you know, other Marvel figures and Marvel Legends back for the Toy Biz era. And I fell upon that as an intern doing, not Marvel Legends yet, but other Marvel animated figures like the X-Men, Spider-Man right. series, other Marvel, other because Toy Biz had a whole bunch of Marvel lineup. That's when Marvel had owned Toy Biz or Toy Biz owned Marvel at the time in the 90s, right. 90s early 2000s and stuff like that. And I just fall into it and learn the process, you know, learn how to design action figures. And not just only action figures, other toys, water guns, Mr. Potato Head type stuff. Just any weird toy you could think of in the 90s, I probably, you know the process of it. Like Gak. I worked on fucking Gak because you did that shit from Nickelodeon, you know? And yeah, so it was a great experience before learning a lot from other scope artists, other designers from Toy Biz about the process. And, you know, just same thing, just drawing and art and just making your doodles and drawings to come to life.
That's awesome. So you probably came up with Jesse Falcon and
Jesse Falcon, the White Stall, Dave Vonner,
yeah,
all those guys. Yeah, that was that era. Then, you know, from the mid 2000s, that's when Marvel bought back themselves from Toy Biz, and then
right.
canceled Toy Biz, or they canceled a license from Toy Biz. Toy Biz was still running, selling like WCW action figures and other miscellaneous figures at the time. I think TNA was doing TNA action figures as well. A lot of wrestling figures and other girl stuff. I can't remember the other lines because I bounced at that time. I think about 2004 I left. And that's when I first officially worked with Hasbro. And before I even was working on the Marvel Legends, I was working on, rinky dink stuff, which I can't really talk about at this point, at this stage right now. But I was working on the 3/4 inch Marvel figures. And that was the line that I am proud of. After when I was doing Marvel Legends for Toy Biz, Hasbro said, well, you know, even though you're a good guy, but you're not really in the stage of Jesse Falcon, Dwight Vonner, and all of those guys, I had to earn, you know, I was a rookie.
Right.
So they put me in smaller figure lines. And then when they started to do the Marvel stuff, they said, well, you know, D, you have experience, you know, and you can start doing 3/4 inch figures. And we'll see how you go from there. And the rest is history.
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
I didn't realize you were involved at that level with the vast product line that the Big H has. And I think people tend to look past the fact that there's more than just the action figures. You know, Hasbro isn't just there to appease the collectors, gasp.
Mm-hmm. You know,
toys are for kids. Who would have thought?
It's a toy company. In the end of the day, it's a toy company.
You know, one of the things I really wanted to talk to you about, and I think it's important, I know in the ROC universe and the collector universe out there in general, we're all adults, or try to be anyway.
Yes.
And, you know, we're passionate about the properties that we grew up with and we still collect now. Star Wars, G.I. Joe, Transformers, you name it, they're all there. But we tend to have, especially with Transformers, we have these expectations, what we want to see.
High expectations, yes.
Yes, high expectations. And, you know, it's hard. We're all like grown kids, you know. Yes. Mm-hmm. Man-child, so to speak.
Yes, yes. Some unfortunately a little bit spoiled, but yes.
Well, that's one of the reasons why we wanted to do this feature.
Right.
Now, we were talking a few weeks back at a convention.
Yes.
And we were standing in a particular area in a booth, and there were some collectors behind us holding a third-party transforming item.
Yes.
And the discussion was, you know, oh, look at the articulation, look at the paint, look at the scale size, yada, yada. You know, Hasbro should be able to do this. Why can't they do that? And that's when we started talking about maybe doing a feature to more or less educate everybody and kind of, you know, shore up what the differences are between a major corporation like Hasbro versus some third-party company, an overseas company. The different rules, the parameters, the constraints. And I'd like to talk about how that works, what the process is like on any given line, and kind of just put it out there. And then we can kind of talk about what we see in the third party world and draw some comparisons and, you know, the differences between them. I think that's really important for everybody to see and understand.
Okay. I wish I had my bottle of Jack Daniels right about now. This is the stage when we need to drive now. Because, see, now, oh, where to begin?
Let's start with, you know, pick any line you've been involved with and right at the beginning. Anything.
No, it's not about the line, but it's about the process and exactly what we did discuss about a couple of weeks ago at that particular convention. Now, let me just first say, Hasbro has the power, the technology, the will to give you quality, third-party quality action figures. But the question is, Brian, if we make you a, let's use Jazz for a perfect example, mm-hmm. the perfect Jazz, and we put these in the toy stores, unless we put them in Toys R Us, Amazon, Target, and Walmart, and one of these Transformers fans goes, see Masterpiece Jazz, and drools at it, and then looks at it, and they see the price tag, or let's say $130, okay? It's a ridiculous price, but you know, a lot of third parties between the, depending on the type of transformer, is we worry between $70 to $225, correct?
Yeah.
So let's say a mid-range transformer deluxe car bot would be $85, right? On third party, would you say that?
I would say so.
So now for a major retailer like Hasbro, we'll have to tack that down, attack another $20 on that because it has to cover import taxes, you know, and all these other stuff else. And that's why the stores, and I'm correcting myself. The retailer will have to tack down the imports, you know, the import tax coming from overseas, or even if Hasbro decides to do an American version itself, you know, we have to pay extra. Now, you think that Transformer fan is going to pay $125 for that Jazz at a Target or at a Toys R Us? They're going to look at us mad, because a perfect example is when we gave them a Hasbro when released MP3 Bumblebee for the price that they're supposed to sell it in Toys R Us, everybody called Hasbro insane for that.
Right.
But if a X-Trans bots will make that same Bumblebee for the same price, praise ex-trans bots for giving them what they want. See, the problem is that they, anytime when it comes to releasing a toy, they see Hasbro as the kids' toy store, and they want the kids' toy prices for it, but not willing to pay collector prices, you know, for a Hasbro product. But they will pay collector prices for a third-party price for a product. And that's where the main problem is. You know, we can't, we give you what we want, but you guys won't pay the price for what you want. You know what I mean? And that's the issue. And yeah. And we understand that completely because we are a toy company. So it's hard to, for a toy company to sell you adult collectible products when the toy consumer won't buy, won't pay the toy collector price for a toy company. And that's always going to be the issue.
I remember as a G.I. Joe fan, I attended the JoeCon religiously for many years. And I remember all the Joe fans would sit at the panel and Daryl DePriest and his team would come in and the panel would start and we would all just, you know, there would be an outrage. How come there are no, you know, no more first gen versions of the characters, and we want vehicles and we want the Terradrome and the flag and yada yada all the way through. And finally they announced the DTC line, direct to consumer, I think it was.
Yes.
They announced they were going to try to release the vehicles, the Sky Striker. You know, the place erupts, everybody's happy. It was laid out in a great way. I thought it was a great first step. And then I remember, you know, the Sky Striker hits retail. I want to say it was maybe $80. I can't remember
about the exact 70, money. 65 to 85 around that price.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it was an improvement from the original sculpt, came with a figure. It was fantastic. It was beautiful. It was everything and more that we wanted as collectors. And it just peg warmed, shelf warmed, and eventually wound up getting just clearanced out. And it was rough to see, because as collectors, we put all this heat on Hasbro and the design team and make it, we'll buy it. And it just seemed like
they didn't buy it. They didn't buy it because they, and then when we did surveys and asked why they didn't buy it, and it came back down to price. So it's right. Like, so when we have to scale back on articulation or detail or quality of accessories or even just quality of the plastic, you guys complain. And we're trying to give you guys the middle ground, but, you know, what is the fine ground, you know, for, you know, a price range, you know, for what you guys want, and then also for us to, you know, make it happen. Because, you know, collectors once have this kind of delusion in their head, I hate to say, Brian, that they look at the old days in the 80s when G.I. Joes were $5 or $3 a pop, you know what I mean? And right. Then, you know, those KB toy store prices, and expect today when inflation it hits and the days and times has changed, they expect G.I. Joes to be that price again. It's not going to be that time anymore. You know, Transformers is not going to be the old $5, $10, $20, you know, for, I remember that what Optimus Prime was $25 one time when I bought it when I was a kid, you know what I mean? Those days are over. You can't get those prices again, you know? And I, you know, I wish we can. I wish inflation doesn't exist so we can give you a freaking fans toy quality Optimus Prime or Shockwave for the price that, you know, it could be affordable for everybody. So that's why, you know, collectors need to understand. That's why there's different tiers of what you can afford. You know, we try to cover, that's if you notice of Marvel Legends, we try to cover all the base, you know, even for Marvel figures, we try to cover all the base for everybody. So if you can't afford a $20 figure, there's a $10 figure, you know? If
right.
You know, and if you can't afford the, now we made like a $60 12-inch figures because people who like Mezco and Hot Toys and the 12-inch scales figures, you know, Hasbro started making those within the $40 to $60 scale range, you know. And if you can afford those are great. And if you can't afford them, we have the $20, $25 Marvel Legends figures. Those are the 6-inch. They're scales. But if you can't afford them, I don't think this collection, this collecting hobby is for you. You know, it's like you guys want us to chop prices down for you guys to collect. but it's just not an expensive hobby. You know, I don't hear people say that shit about Hot Toys when they release a $200 Batman figure, $300 Iron Man figure that lights up. Is it take my money now? But if Hasbro released a Iron Man figure, 12-inch Iron Man figure, and it's $60, and, you know, digital paint, all points of articulation, the great figure, $60, they still scream bloody water that we're ripping them off. But they will buy an Iron Man figure from Mezco for $65 and $85 in almost in the same quality, and they say, oh, it's the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Yeah, no, I feel you on that. And
I'm right. Sorry if I feel like I'm ranting, but you know, that's the how ironic and how ironic the, and how crazy the fan base is, because it's like you want this, we give it to you, and you guys spit on it, and then you praise somebody else because it's not Hasbro. I believe, Brian, I think sometimes it's cool to hate on the big corporation. You know? Yeah. And you know, it's like when you see, and it doesn't matter if it's when, if it's technology, like Microsoft was the bad corporation back in the 90s. Now in this day and age, it's Apple's the major corporation now, you know, that all the tech people hate because of the whole iPhone this and iPhone that and blah, blah, blah. So now when the toy company is, Hasbro is one of the biggest toy companies in the United States. So we're going to be the man because Mattel is not doing so great. You don't see Mattel, you know, putting out movies like Hasbro has in the past 10 years. You know, Hasbro has the partnership with Disney, with Star Wars and with Marvel and everything else, you know. So we're the big corporation now. We're the big guy now, and, you know, unfortunately. And so people like to hate on the big guy because that's the, it's that's been like that since the dawn of time. So we're always going to have, we're going to be the evil corporation that don't care. We're going to be Corporation H or, you know, Company H as it is. And, you know, I don't mind being an agent of H because, you know, I'm doing what I love and I'm producing stuff that people are happy. If I can get at least one person buying to say, yo, this figure is great, I love it, I'm happy, you know? Because I know I'm not going to please everybody.
Right.
I can't please everybody. At once, and that's what sometimes, you know, as a designer, what I learned a couple of years ago, that you can't please everybody and don't take it personal. Because, you know, a part of me is in the design and in the process. And then when I see some fanboy come, oh, this sucks, man. It doesn't have wrist swivel or ankle rocker or, you know, or the head doesn't turn a certain way or the paint got blotted in the corner of his hairline, you know, oh, this sucks. And well, then you make a figure. How, you know, we're in a day and age where there's GoFundMe, there's Kickstarter. Make a fucking figure and you tell me,
right,
you know, how it works for you, you know, and you see that you're going to be coming with limitations and process and deadlines and delays and there's going to be accidents that's going to happen, and sometimes shit happens in the factory that there's going to be quality control issues. It's all part of the game. I mean, like, even what can I ask what you do for a living, Brian?
I'm in the construction industry, so I work with design specialty products, architectural products, and such on a regular basis. Oh my gosh,
so you know what the fuck I'm talking about then.
Exactly, my friend, yes.
You're designing something, right? And let's say you need like a special type of window being made, right? Or frame for a window. And then you have to order it from another company across seas, right? And then, and you say, okay, I may need this by in 3 months' time. Sure, I'm going to get it for you, right? And then they call you in 2 months' time and it's almost close to the deadline and say, hey, it's Mr. Salvatore. I'm sorry to tell you that our machines over here got explosion and the metal wasn't up to par and then and it strained and the frame is not strong enough to hold the structure that you need. And we need another 2 months to fix it and give it to you right. And there's nothing in your power. You said, fuck, okay, do what you got to do. I'll tell the other people we're going to have a little bit delays. And it happens in the action figure business too.
Right. It's business.
It's business. It's part of business. And fortunately, fanboys don't get that. And they scream bloody murder when we don't produce an exact time frame what they want, because we have to be on their schedule.
Yeah, we are definitely as fanboys demanding. We are an instant gratification demographic.
Yes.
And, you know, speaking of demographics, if we were to walk into a Hasbro board meeting, just broken down simply, what is the number one target demographic that Hasbro caters to?
The main demographics is boys between 5 and 15. That is the major demographics for these action figures. Then afterwards, it will be girls between the ages of 4 to 12, because unfortunately, I hate to say it, women mature faster than us guys. Mm-hmm. So they put the Barbie doll down in by 12 years old. So after 12, they really don't want to, we don't kind of focus on them. But, you know, we do take care of the little girls and the boys. And then, unfortunately, fanboys, I hate to say this, the adult collectors are maybe third on that list. Because you got to understand, in this day and age, it's interactive is the number one, because everything's apps and video games.
Right.
That, then is the boys, then is the girls, then is the dog collectors. But within that same range with the boys collection, then, the you know, we look out for the dog collectors. And we know it's the parents who are buying the toys for their kids.
Right.
But also, we know that some of the adult collectors are parents, and they want to have a real business relationship with your kids and with you for the next 30 years. So it's like the same thing, like you have your daughters, and hopefully, like when they get older, they want to become collectors. I remember, you know, I used to do this with my dad when we were kids. You know, I want to pass down, I want to pass this down to my kid, you know, and show them what I did with their grandpa, you know, when he was around and stuff like that. And it goes on, et cetera, et cetera. That's how we keep, you know, we keep it in tradition of passing the generation down. We want that family base. We are a family-based toy company. That we know family's important, toys are important, you know, your kids are important, and also the adults are important too. So if you're a adult collector, we are looking out for you with the Marvel Legends and with the Star Wars Black Series, and, you know, with the Transformers Generations, and, you know, and also with, you know, sometimes the American release or the U.S. release of Hasbro Masterpiece, Transformer Masterpiece. We look for you guys because we know how important these toys were for you guys 30 years ago when we were kids, and now we are parents. And we try so much, you know, within, you know, Toys R Us or within the Comic Cons or comic conventions, or even currently with HasCon, and try to, you know, give you guys the things that you want, like the OGI Joe Missile Command Base, Cobra Missile Command Base, or the Revolutions box set, well, the Transformers and the Visionaries. You know, trust me, if I have more power in the company, I've been pushing out Cops and Visionaries already, you know, for me. Just for me, you know, and even fucking humanoids, because I have a lot of designs and a lot of and, you know, a lot of thoughts and images and notes and sketches and proposals that I have that maybe one day in the next 2 to 5 years that may happen. Because the collecting market is growing every year. Every year it gets stronger and stronger. And the adult collector has a little bit more power. You know, like, you know, we listen. But as well, we listen, we want you guys to, you know, it's a compromise. It's a give and take relationship. We give you as much as we can give you guys that you want, but you got to be understandable with the constraints that from a design point of view or the tooling point of view or budget point of view, that not everything you guys want is possible. You know, I've talked about, you know, now since it's happening, I talked about this a couple of years ago with the RC under the Hot Hangouts, that Marvel Legends, we're going to be doing the Marvel Legends 2-packs, and Lord and behold, we got you guys the 2-packs, you know. You guys wanted the army builders. I said, you know, let me talk to them about army builders. And what I told you, like, patience. Army builders coming. Hydra 2-packs. Boom. You're going to get, we gave you the Shield 2-packs. Boom.
Right.
And then now you're going to get, hopefully, the Wild Dogs, the Wild Packs. I mean, Wild Dogs? Yes, the Wild Dogs. The Hellfire Club, you know. and you know those guys. So hopefully, you know, we're on the right path to give you the things that you guys want, you know, within the constraints that Hasbro has. Because, you know, if you were able to be in a meeting and see the price that we have to pay for plastics and the oil for the factory machine to pay for to make those machines, to make the molding, plus the metal for the tooling. I mean, you know this, the buying for engineering and construction, you know, the tooling to make the molds for the figures and stuff like that. You know, that's not cheap either, you know, and the delivery and the, you know, because it's overseas, you have to, you know, go on the freight boats and everything. All that is money that we have to pay. And then, you know, sometimes it comes out of our pockets as a major corporation, but as well, the retailers have to pay for it too, you know? And then as well, if you guys pay for it. So if you guys pay and these figures does well, we're able to do the things that we're able to do. Because now, I mean, the Marvel Legends has been producing fire lately. And I am proud to say that we have been producing fire, because we are able to, because as the fans are buying it, they're liking it, and it's acceptable with it. And once, you know, and once you see that, you know, once it all goes back into the company, it's not like, you know, of course there can be some fat cats and stuff like that. But once we get the money and the popularity of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the movies and the tie-ins and all these other stuff that goes into it, you know, helps produce a better figure in the end. You know, sometimes technology hasn't caught up yet. We're in the cusp of the technology with 3D printers and 3D Studio Max and 3D rendering, and we can do things that we couldn't do before. We are venturing in a new territory with a lot of new technology in the toy business to give you guys quality products, you know, and it takes time. It takes time, you know. You know, because it's like when we were kids, we made the best of what we had. Because let's be honest, Brian, even though Transformers were great, they had the shittiest articulation. But we made do with what we had, and they were great. Now, 30 years in the future, these toys are remarkable, I could say. Yeah. If you put a generation now, Power of Prime, or even a Combine Wars or Titans Returns Optimus Prime with the original G1 Optimus Prime. Come on.
Yeah, you know, it's no comparison. I hear you. I'm with you on that.
And you know, and guys can call, you can call and scream waffles and Eggos all to bloody death. All you fucking want. But in the end of the day, you know, Waffle Prime is going to be better than G1 Prime. It's just technology. Right. It's history.
It's an evolution of sorts.
It's evolution, exactly. Right. So, you know, but we have to do the waffles, and because of plastic. Because if you do it, if you give these solid plastics to third party, or put die cast metal in it, are you guys going to pay for it? Are you going to willing to pay for the extra price for that?
I want to get to that in a minute, but you hit on a couple of major things just to go back for a minute.
Okay, sure.
So we have three target demographics. Number one, you know, the boys, not male adults,
not male adults, boys.
So would you say that's 50% of the target demographic?
I would say roughly about 50% or more.
50%. Okay. So then number two was the girls.
Yes.
Same age range. Would you say that's 30%?
I would say about 30%. And that's about, so now we already hit 80% right there.
We've hit 80%. So now you've got, you know, the miscellaneous, I would think, other items that fall under that umbrella, the other products. And then maybe what? There's the 10% adult collector demographic. We fit in at the very bottom.
Bottom, unfortunately. But with that in mind, Brian, and as well, Hasbro understand that the adult collector is important to us, you
right.
know, not just, you know, money-wise, as just, like I said, you know, the history of Hasbro. Hasbro used to keep the IP property close to their chest, Brian. And, I mean, look at them now. You have used, like, all the stuff they've been licensing from Loyal Subjects to 3A, what was the company when we saw that big old Optimus Prime over there? They're doing a Megatron.
Yeah, the MAS-01.
Well, yeah. You know, they're licensing these up because they know that, okay, if we as Hasbro can't give you guys the adult collectibles that you want and not our constraints, if another company wants to lease this license and make it for you guys, not taking money away from Hasbro to compete right. with us, by all means, that's what we've been doing. You know, this is the day and age of the adult collector, and I'm part of that. And I agree with that. The adult collector should be a little bit higher up there too, because the adult collector have kids and they want their kids to maybe say, hey, you know what? Hasbro's a great company and I want my kids to buy from Hasbro too. And they understand that and they're trying. They are trying. That's why they see your, that's why they, you know, they still have the G.I. Joe Collectors Club, which unfortunately this is, next year will be the last year for it, and hopefully right. maybe they'll do something else. And they have the subscription service over there with the Fun publications. I mean, unfortunately, Fun Pump dropped the ball on the Transformers license, and that's why they Hasbro had to take it away from them. And but for the past 20 years, Fun Pub was been doing, you know, the bot cons and the Joe cons and the subscription service and everything else, you know, think for those adult collectors, for those fans, you know. And so we're listening and we're opening our little, you know, chest of treasures yeah. and leasing out these other stuff, our IPs, for other companies to do something with it, so the adult collectors can get their Hasbro fix per se.
No, that's great. And I want to put this out there for everybody that is listening to this feature. This is not meant to be, you know, the quote unquote, hail Hasbro, shout out to Shattercast.
This is not a puff piece.
Yes, this is an informative piece because it is important as the rising adult collector demographic to understand what we're dealing with, what we're buying, and where it's going to go in the next few years. And we're going to be doing other features in the future that are going to cover other aspects of the third party world. And you'll start to see how the pictures and the dots all connect. So today we're focusing on Hasbro. So basically Hasbro is, you know, we're a small piece of the big Hasbro puzzle. They're listening. They're trying to appease us. They're trying to expand with pop culture, with what we're asking for, our demands as rabid fanboys. And I think, you covered, as far as Transformers go, there's the Masterpiece line, you know, for the hardcore, higher tier, higher end collector.
Yes.
You know, you've got mass retail as the next bracket down. And then you've got some of the other items, you could say, like the 5 points of articulation type figures that are meant for the lower price tier, maybe even for the kids. Mm-hmm. A good way to get new collectors started into exactly. the hobby.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I hear what you're saying, how we always complain. I'm just generalizing, we as the collector, devil's advocate, mm-hmm. we want more, more, more. We want to pay less, less, less. So, Tyler, shout out to Toy Detox, was here in Two Guys Studio earlier.
And he has, I saw his shadow.
Yeah. He was drooling over the Fans Toys Terminus Gigantus, a.k.a. Mega Supreme.
That's a big baby right there.
Oh, my Lord. This thing it was amazing.
The toddler.
Yeah, I mean, pictures can't do it justice. You have to hold it, play yeah. with it, move it around. And I think he was talking about he paid $350 for it shipped.
Yeah, that's about so, $330. So base price $330, $20 ship. That's
right.
Yeah.
Came in two parts, two yes. separate shipments. It was not available all at one time.
No.
It was only available through, you know, online ordering. It comes from a third party company only. Mm-hmm. And you've either got to buy it from an online e-tailer, you know, one of the bigger companies, or you buy from, you know, a smaller dealer, third party company, through Facebook or one of the other online groups and such.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, I would say that was probably, I don't know, from what do you think? How many pieces do you think Fans Toys made of that?
My rough estimate would be 500 to 600 pieces.
500 to 600 pieces.
Yes.
500 to 600 pieces.
Yes.
So just to put that in perspective, I think Walmart has something like 4,000 stores at this point. I haven't
checked them out. About you could say about less for more right. or less. Yeah.
So if Walmart's got 4,000 stores, give or take, that means Target probably also has 4,000 stores, give or take, because they are rabidly competitive in all markets, most markets throughout North America.
Yes.
So then, you know, we look at Hasbro. Hasbro is a majority of the business, right? I roughly maybe 70% is
the toy business, I would say, next to Mattel. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how much of that business is at mass retail brick and mortar? Rough estimate. What do you think?
You know what? I would say 80 to 95%. I mean, you will find a Hasbro product almost in mostly any market that will sell a toy store. And if it's not a Marvel Legends, if it's not a Star Wars, it may be a My Little Pony. It may be a G.I. Joe. It may be another form of a Spider-Man action figure line, or like the Guardians of the Galaxy animated series, or some form of Hasbro product, even from, and that's not, that's action figures, Brian, not thinking about girls' right. toys, you know, like For Real Friends, or Littlest Pet Shop, or Tonka Truck Toys, Play School, you know, stuff like that, yeah. Rescue Box, Rescue Heroes, you know, including board games. Oh my God, Parker Brothers, Milton Bradley. We all own those. Those are all Hasbro board game stuff, you know.
Right.
So if you see a Jenga, sorry, Monopoly, you know, and I play, that's a Hasbro product. So that's, it's not just only action figures we make. We make a plethora of different stuff for family entertainment, you know. So you're going to find a Hasbro product in a Ross. You're gonna right. find it in a TG Maxx, Walgreens, Walmart, JC Penney's, even in a brick and mortar store, Dark Side Toys, maybe, or running a comic book store, your local comic book store, you're gonna find a Hasbro product, you know. It's because it's everywhere, and that's so just imagine that, you know, we have to cater to all these different kind of consumers, not just the 10% of the adult collector.
Well, first and foremost, you have to cater to the board of directors, the shareholders,
and the shareholders.
Publicly owned company.
Company, exactly.
Whereas if we look at, I don't want to say competition per se, because it's not necessarily
apples to competition, apples. Yeah, but you can say, like, say, Matoys. Matoys is a privately owned company. And they can, right. you know, fortunately, this, and they do what the fuck they want. And we'll yeah. talk about that in a minute, to how third party is the Wild West over there in the Asian markets. So these smaller companies or private companies don't have to answer to shareholders and the board right. of directors and the CEO and all this other stuff. And they don't have a list of protocols or rules and regulations, and they don't have to follow by state or city law, government law, and then mandates and stuff like that. And these are all things that we have to yeah. follow by. Because let's say you guys wanted a die-cast action figure of Jazz, right? But we can't make it in a mass product for kids, because the paint, you know, paint alone and the die-cast alone, it's not going to be safe for right. kids. For right. because we, again, and we are marketing for kids in a certain age group, so we're not allowed to. So right there again, no metal, scrap. Because remember, 30 years ago, we used to have cops with the cap guns and shit like that. With
yeah.
And then remember the monster barks, the monster bots from Transformers in the late 80s with the sparks that spark fire and shit. You know, yeah. We can't do those shits
Rocket
anymore,
firing, guys. Boba yeah. Fett, yeah. Bionic yeah. Six, diecast.
We can't do that anymore, because when the Japanese, the Asian markets who made it, they put lead in that shit because it was cheaper and quicker to do it, and the kids were eating the paints and the pizza broke off and right. they were getting killed and choking on that stuff. So there was no more. We couldn't do it no more. So plastic is the way. So third-party markets, because see, third parties also, they don't sell to kids. they sell to adult collectors.
Right.
So third party could put the sparks in there. They can put the mellow in there, and they could put fucking radiation to make the shit glow in the dark if they want, because they say they're going to put a little note, hey, maintain radiation to glow in the dark. Buy at your own risk. So now the adult collectors say, oh, I might get radiation poisoning, but it's going to glow in the dark sweet on my D-top shelf. So fuck it. I'm going to buy it anyway. And that's their choice. And if they get radiation poisoning, they can't sue May Toys because we let them know. And that's the deal. But if we do it, we get sued millions, bro.
Yeah, yeah. No, if somebody's kid swallows like an alternate head for Fans Toys Coot,
we're done.
Yeah. You know, back. Nobody even knows who the fucking CEO of Fans Toys is at this point.
And he could change the name.
Yes.
And it'll be Toys Fan.
Fun Toys.
Fun Toys. And he's back in business 2 or 4 months later, you know?
But if it's Hasbro, you can go on to Hoover's or you can go on to LinkedIn and find the CEO, the CFO, you know, the legal counsel. It's all public. You know who it is. It's public information record. Yeah, exactly. You know, within 7 days, there's a lawsuit filed. Yeah, it's a different set of parameters.
You know, and that's why we play it safe than sorry, you know?
Yeah. No, I hear you. So we've got major corporation, and it's not even like Hasbro has to worry about one property or one line or even one product. It's
hundreds.
Yeah, hundreds. Yeah. So to take, again, something like Fans Toys Omega Terminus, to make something like that, it would have to be a piece that would have a consistent specific profit level to allow it to be distributed at mass market brick and mortar, Target, Walmart, Walgreens, Toys R Us, the whole thing, all the way down the line. It would have to be at a price point that made sense to mass market that, not 600 pieces. More probably like, I don't know, something that size, 60,000 pieces, right? To satisfy, if not more.
More, probably a little. I would say 65 to 100,000 pieces. And if you want to cover all the markets, because not just the United States market, there's Hasbro Canada, there's Hasbro UK, there's Hasbro Australia, there's Hasbro Asia. So those are, and imagine those fans and those collectors and those consumers who buys, you know, one or many of the Hasbro IP properties that they own.
Right.
You know, it's a big scale. When, you know, while Make Toys or Fans Toys will, you know, make 600, and that may have to go into all over the world, but it's a niche market. They are covering a niche market of adult collectors when Hasbro is trying to cover everybody.
Right. They're trying to do a little bit.
And everybody is a broad, happy. You know? Yeah, it's the family from their, you know, your little Jimmy to Sally to, you know, Susan, the wife, and Jim, the husband. You know, we try to do it for everybody to be happy, you know, from family game night to video games to action figures to from Play-Doh to easy bake ovens. All of that stuff people need to realize. You know, we just can't drop one IP property for another one because a fan wants that.
Right.
Unfortunately, that's not how the business works.
Well, when you look at what we as collectors call competition for Hasbro, I mean, with the Transformers line, obviously, there's, a good 50 different third-party companies, some of which are the same groups, just under different names. And such. You know, now with, if you're a G.I. Joe fan, there's been a little crossover of such with the Kickstarter, the Articulated Icons 6-inch line.
Yes.
Yeah, but even then, I love the line. I love the product, but I think it took 2 years to launch.
Yeah, 2.5 years because they wanted perfection, and which they did, but unfortunately, perfection takes time. And a lot of effort, and unfortunately, you know, issues, factory issues, and quality control, and delays upon delays upon delays. So if you want it right away, you're going to wait. If you want it right away with the perfect quality and everything, you're going to wait. But if you just want it now, and you don't care about quality, and you don't care about articulation, and you just want it, you know, and you don't care about paint and application and stuff like that, we can do that for you. we can give you a piece of shit figure you want, you know? And then are you going to blame us for what you guys wanted? Are you going to be patient? You know, there's another line that kind of helps, you know, the G.I. Joe fix that I really love. And that's the Marauders Task Force line. And
yeah.
That was the Kickstarter campaign a few years back. And now they have their own little website and they sell their own stuff. And it's very modular with their weaponry and the figures. So if you want to make your soldier, you can make a G.I. Joe based on whatever character and stuff like that. You can do that. Yeah, but and the great thing about it, they're not doing it in a sense that they're stepping on Hasbro's toes and, you know, as in IP properties or copyright stealing or whatever like that. These are just modern day military figures that maybe you could make them look like a Viper or a Cobra right. officer or Duke or Flint or whoever you may choose it to be. You can, you know, that's your creative aspect in your mind. You can make it whatever you want it to be. So there's companies like that. But, you know, but again, that didn't happen for Marauders overnight, and yeah. and also people were willing to pay what they had the patience to wait to get perfection. And even the first time around, it wasn't perfect. You know, Marauder John had some issues and here and there, but over time he learned. It's the learning process, and as well Hasbro is still fucking learning today too. We, you know, Marvel Legends wasn't this great figure line overnight. You know,
right?
We had hits and misses. Let's just every other company will have hits and misses. You know. I'm lucky to say, knock on wood, luckily we've been having more hits than misses. I'm sorry, Duke. I just woke up my dog for knocking on wood.
Oh.
Go back to bed, buddy. So,
sorry to wake you.
He's good. He's going back to bed. So back to that. So yeah, these are the things that, you know, collectors need to really think about in the end of the day when they want to like scream, "Oh, Hasbro sucks because we don't do this and we don't do that." You know,
Well, to give a shout out to Marauder and to Foosh, Articulated Icons, Pablo, yes. Mm-hmm. Hardcore Collector, very proud.
I took my hats off to you guys for those ninjas because I'm addicted.
Yeah, me too, man. But when we look at that, I mean, those things go for like anywhere from 30 to
what's going on,
$80 for some of these.
Yes,
things, depending on if you got in at the Kickstarter, if you got in after the fact.
Yeah, I got into the Kickstarter. There's my bro right there. but when Articulated Icons did the ninjas, they were like 50, depending on the deluxe figure, it was like $55 a pop, and then $32 mm-hmm. for the basic figure. And then when they released them, and then when it went to eBay, that that they were like $100 per figure,
right?
And that's in the secondary market, and people wants to pay that. But I think that's insane for those prices.
But you could customize your Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow, which is like a dream.
It's very true. Very true. But again, you know, this is a smaller company who have more power and control of what they can do. And then if a collector has that kind of scratch to pay into it, then by all means, let them pay into it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hasbro feel about, say, Marauder and Articulated Icons with what they've done, knowing that that product is, I don't want to say infringing, but that it's kind of somewhat riding the coattails of their property with G.I. Joe?
I wouldn't say, Articulated Icons, I wouldn't say that. If you look at the line,
mm-hmm.
that line isn't really, you know, kind of, it's not based upon G.I. Joe. It's not based upon any type of characters. It's its own separate entity. But with the White Ninja, there is ways to alter it, to make it look like right. a certain Cobra Ninja.
Customize it.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, Hasbro has no issues with people taking their toys and gun our money and toys and making customs.
right,
of their favorite Joe characters. It's their money. It's, you know, do what you want with their toys, in a sense, you know. They don't feel like Marauders or Attila Clay Icons is competing against them in those properties because they're not G.I. Joes. Now, if they said Marauders Task Force is a task force fighting evil organization called Slither or some shit like that, then we may have an ish, then a cease and desist order maybe upon John's door, you know. But right. It's not. So they're not competing. It's not competing. We're all in this together, in a sense, you know.
No, that's so awesome. That's, yeah, you that's know? Good. But so, now, what about like Toy World, MMC, Fans Toys? Is that on Hasbro's radar?
It's on Takara and Hasbro's radar. Uh-huh. But unfortunately, there's not much they can do because that is based overseas. It's an overseas market. In a sense, the laws and the regulations of IP and IP intellectual properties and all of that stuff is differently how it works in the United States. They right. can get, so that's why you see, you could, that's why if you go to a convention in China, toy convention in China, you'll see Weijian, Optimus Prime, and the Weijian, you know, Aerobots booth there, and then five booths down, there's the Hasbro booths for their Transformer Masterpiece stuff in their display cases. And they can't say shit about it because the law is different.
Right.
You know, and, you know, sometimes, you know, we feel like, you know, we want to throw a brick through their fucking display case because for copying us, but there's not much you can do about it, you know?
But you'd never see it here at Toy Fair.
You would not see that shit here. That won't fly yeah. by because if let's say Raul decides to make a Transformer line and he's made it and his car transforming robots or transforming bots or transform droids. Let's call them transform droids and and he has the good guys and the bad guys and they all look like Optimus Prime and the Autobots and the Decis.com. You better believe that cease and desist order will be knocking on his door.
Yep.
You know? So, but because it's in, the rules are different here, unfortunately.
Right. Hence all the third party companies that are, you know, blatantly copy.
It's all and overseas. Also, and another thing too, it's artist interpretation. It's not full out copying. It's, they also look at that. It's like, well, they're not. Now, let's say if they took Hasbro's outright designs, took it, made it under, and to say, this is our own Transformers, and this is our Transformers, and sell it that way, then they can't do that because that will be considered a knockoff, and that is full on copying, and then we can shut it down, you know. But yeah. that's not the case. They're their own tooling, their own molds, their own designs, just based on characters that Hasbro owns the trademark names and the likenesses. We can make them look like it, but they're not, because they third party can make it look like it, but it's not necessary it. Okay, dude, go ahead. Go yeah, see no your, logos. Go ahead, buddy. There you go. No logos. Yes, exactly. Nothing, no trademark logos on it and stuff like that.
Now, we've all heard rumors of the cease and desist that came up with a certain third-party company. Do you know anything about that, or can you?
You
or
know,
can
you not I, talk about that? I can't speak much about it, but I know the cease and desist order that they were showing on the Facebook groups, that wasn't a real cease and desist order. Mm-hmm. So whoever made that, photoshopped it and altered it to make it look like that was the case, because Hasbro can't send a cease and desist order overseas to somebody. I mean, if they try, right. Who are they going to send it to? Who is the name? Who is the person? Cease right. and desist order to make toys to a warehouse in Shanghai somewhere?
Looking for a guy named Keith with a cowboy hat?
Right, exactly, you know. So, you know, Keith, if that's Keith's real name, you know.
Right.
If that is his real name, we don't even know for sure, you know. Keith could be his dog and on, you know.
Right.
Based upon his dog's name, you know. So, we don't know. So, for them to send it to something, it's just going to be a wild goose chase. They could send it, but it's going to come out empty-handed. You know.
That's right. So, you know, and when you're looking at that as collectors, we really get to reap the benefits. We've got, you know, the official licensed property version of the product. We can get anywhere from, you know, the basic versions up until the masterpieces, Hasbro and Takara. And on the other side of the coin, you've got the third party world. If that's the route you choose to pursue, that's got potentially a different line of characters, different variations of the same property and such. So rather than fight over it and piss and moan about it and scream at each other over which one's better, just enjoy it all.
I agree. I buy what you buy, like what you like. And, you know, I just want to drive home one thing. You know, we're all in this together. We all love this. We love this hobby. You know, if it's from Pokemon to G.I. Joe to Masters of the Universe to Transformers to Thundercats to Silverhawks, you know, collect what you want to collect. I hate when somebody say, well, third party is better than Hasbro and Hasbro is better than third party. It's all different. It's oranges, bananas. But if you people want to be technical about it, and it's not just because I'm saying this, because I am the poly of a corporate age, Hasbro was first. It's going to be here, and it's going to be here to when you guys die and your children's going to be around, hopefully. And these third-party companies, they're like a thief in the night. They may be here today. They may be gone tomorrow. And another company will come in and, you know, try to steal the thunder of another design or another IP or whatever like that. So, again, they're coming up with amazing stuff. From a designer aspect point of view, I can say third party has some wonderful toys and wonderful products. But in the end of the day, remember where it comes from, where that legacy comes from. Comes from Company H, baby. Just remember that, guys.
Legacy and longevity. I like it. I like it. What else do you want to share about any projects or anything that you've been involved with, things you're proud of, things you just want to shout out, drive home? Legends, Star Wars, anything. 6-inch G.I. Joe?
I can pray. We can pray. I've been praying too, man. Okay. I wish I had the scratch and I can, like, you know, give somebody a couple hundred bucks under the table and say, hey, let's get this thing going or something. You know what I mean? But I'm proud of what I do. Sometimes it doesn't come out the way, execute the way that we want to execute, you know? But we are proud of the work that we put in. And we are human beings. We have feelings. We're not just a machine that produces stuff. Nice. We spend hours upon hours of time perfecting it the way that you like the figures, like popping out of the comic books or from the movies or from TV, you know. It's not going to be 100% to everybody's eyes. But think about it, when you look at it and you saw huffing and puffing because the color wasn't to your expectations, that, you know, I would like to see what you guys can do, you know. Mm-hmm. If you can do better, by all means, you know, show me what I don't know how to do. I got almost 20 years of experience in my pocket. If you can show me something from the 20 years that I don't know, by all means, I'm a sponge. I will soak it up. But until then, you know, I'm not trying to be rude. Shut the fuck up. Enjoy the goddamn toy. This is what we did. When we were 8 and 10 years old, Brian, we didn't look at a fucking toy and say, you know what, the paint applications could be better.
Right.
The articulations is not working for me. You know, I don't like the butterfly joint or it needs an elbow joint. We didn't do that. We loved it. Our eyes glazed. It was the best thing since Christmas morning.
Right.
Getting in that, smelling that fresh new toy, that plastic and the cracks and the squeaks, and you know that shit is the tight joints, you know? And those things I can understand. You don't want to come out a new toy that it's floppy. Like, right. You know what? Like, I understand that completely. That's quality control issues. But sometimes you guys like to nitpick. Enjoy what you have. You know, it's like they want infant gratification, that instant, yeah. You know, high once they get it, and then they get it and they're like, okay, on to the next thing. Enjoy the toy. Why spend so much on something that you're going to shit on it and just be angry at it? Enjoy it, guys. Have fun. love each other, man. It's all good, baby. It's all good.
Yeah, man. I agree with you. You guys have made some solid innovations. Like you said, the 3D printing, just the investment in talent, you know, H has to have, there has to be many more other faceless agent of there H types
are, growing plenty, like you. There are plenty, like people from Four Horsemen who used to did figures for them. And shout out to Boss Fight Studios. Those guys used to do a lot of G.I. Joes and other Marvel Studios, and they're doing their own thing now, you know. And, you know, and there's a lot more talented people that come on board, you know. If Hasbro is on the forefront with innovation and new technologies and toys. And it may sound like a cliche, like saying something stupid like in a tech company or like in a Microsoft commercial or whatever, but it's true. It shows in the products. It shows over the years that we, you know, we want engineers, you know, people who have engineers. We have fucking engineers with engineering degrees who worked in fucking NASA.
Right.
And all the stuff who makes shit possible, man, for these transformations and, you know, to make something so plastic to be on your doorsteps and the toy shows, the shelves and stuff like that, you know, but people don't see that, you know, you guys see it as just, a hunk of plastic that's in a box or on a blister card or on a rack and Target, you know, but it's something more than that. And it's more from the design, from the packaging to the layouts, to distribution, to warehouse, to shipping, to brick and mortar. It's all a process you got to think of. You know, and also to make people happy, you know, and not just, you know, collectors, you know, standards and practices and things and that, you know, to make sure, you know, these things are legit. It's not going to offend, you know, religious people or just normal other or any other people and stuff like that. You know, it's just
right. A
lot of things we have to worry about. Third party, again, doesn't have to worry about that. But again, in the end of the day, you know, this, let's, third party, major corporation, doesn't matter what brand, G.I. Joe, Transformers, you know, SWAT Cats, Scooby-Doo, whatever you collect it, love it, enjoy it.
You know what, man? I appreciate the fact that you took the time to educate all of us.
My pleasure.
You know, and I hope we can do more of these in the future. I think it's great. It'd be nice to one day maybe see some more interaction out at some of these conventions. I mean, I don't know what the legalities and such for that are, but I think it's important that collectors know it's not a competition. There's apples, oranges, bananas, kiwis. It's all good.
It's all good. I mean, like maybe back then 20 years ago, it was maybe a competition and companies will hold IPs tight, you know, like Marvel, like DC Comics and stuff like that. Look, it's amazing to see like a company, let's say Hot Toys, will make Marvel figures and DC figures at the same time, as right. well Mezco, because you know they're sharing the license, and Shig Figure Arts, Bandai, and none of these other companies have shared licenses with us, who's making Star Wars and Marvel and DC figures as well. But the, you know, as well with that, it's a different market. Shig Figure Arts is covering the Asian markets while we cover the US markets. And plus, you know, it's a different style of figures as well. People like Japanese import style of figures, so they collect that. People like American figures. And you'd be surprised that the Asian markets who, you know, love Hasbro Marvel Legends figures, they like, you know, our figures, right. And it's a damn crime and a shame that a lot of those figures is not available for the Asian markets. You know, a lot of people, a lot of Asian people will have to travel and buy it here or ship it back or buy, and they have to pay import prices as we pay import prices for, you know, their Japanese toys, you know.
It's I think it's, again, another interesting point. People tend to look at Metacom and Figure Arts as third-party companies, but
they're not. Really,
they're not. They're licensed, official licensed products, companies, you know, giving, like you said earlier, another version that maybe Hasbro is not pursuing. Mm. Another version of the line, and that's important. That gives you the diversity that you need. Hot Toys, same thing. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. That's listening to their demographic.
Mm-hmm.
So awesome. H, I appreciate the time. I know you probably have to go back under the cover of darkness in the depths of the Northeast, wherever you may be transmitting from.
Yes, yes, yes. Got to get back to the slave pit.
Man. Well, thanks for the passion. Thanks for keeping it real. And thanks for keeping it on the realm.
My pleasure, guys. Again, ROC for life, baby. Realm. ROC
for life. Realm. All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Later, guys.
Take care.
Take care.
All right, folks. I'm Steel. Thanks for listening. Thanks for checking us out. Like us. Love us. Save us. Savor us. Visit us at a con. Start up your local ROC chapter. And keep it in the realm.